From NPR News in Washington, I'm Lakshmi Singh. The death toll is surging from today's street battles across Egypt, much of which is under a curfew this hour. The Ministry of Health is now reporting at least 235 deaths and more than 2,000 people wounded in street battles today. Gunshots rang out in Cairo, where security forces moved in on encampments by Egyptians who have been fighting for a month to reinstate deposed President Mohamed Morsi. Here's the latest from Mara Kennedy in Cairo.
Violence has engulfed much of Cairo and other parts of Egypt since security forces dispersed the pro-Morsi sit-ins with tear gas and bullets. Pro-Morsi protesters are still marching in Cairo and vow to continue pushing for Morsi's reinstatement. Mohamed Ibrahim, the Minister of Interior, said that security forces showed restraint during the operation. He said that 43 policemen were killed in an attack on a police station, and Muslim Brotherhood members are being arrested across the country in large numbers. For NPR News, I'm Merrick Kennedy in Cairo.
Secretary of State John Kerry is condemning the Egyptian military's crackdown.
The promise of the 2011 revolution has simply never been fully realized. And the final outcome of that revolution is not yet decided. It will be shaped in the hours ahead, in the days ahead. It will be shaped by the decisions which all of Egypt's political leaders make now and in these days ahead.
Egypt is under a month-long state of emergency. Former Illinois Congressman Jesse Jackson Jr. has been sentenced to 30 months plus 3 years supervised release for misuse of $750,000 in campaign funds. Here's his lawyer, Reed Weingarten.
The fall from grace is complete. My client, Jesse Jackson, went from an enormously respected, charismatic, long-term member of Congress to a convicted felon who's about to be incarcerated. So it's a day of deep sadness.
In other news, military personnel in same-sex marriages got official word today. They'll get the same benefits other married couples receive. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel announced that the Pentagon will now treat all military marriages equally. NPR's Tom Gelton says the move was widely expected after the Supreme Court overturned the Defense of Marriage Act.
The Defense of Marriage Act forbid the federal government from recognizing same-sex marriages. That meant the Pentagon couldn't give full benefits to personnel in same-sex relationships, even if they were legally married under state laws. With that act now ruled unconstitutional, the Pentagon can set its own policy. Defense Secretary Hagel says the Pentagon will make the same benefits available to all military spouses, regardless of whether they are in same-sex or opposite-sex marriages. It's not enough for a same-sex couple to be in a committed relationship to get spousal benefits, but the directive authorizes 10 days leave time so a couple can travel to a state where they can legally get married. Tom Gelton, NPR News, Washington.
You're listening to NPR News. There's a growing crisis in the education of Native American children. As NPR's Claudio Sanchez reports, a new study is sounding the alarm.
Native American students are often an afterthought in studies about kids' academic progress, but the Education Trust, a Washington-based group, has released one of the most comprehensive reports showing a grim situation for American Indian and Alaska Native children. Only 2 in 10 fourth graders read at grade level. In math, about half perform well below basic, and it's been this way for years now. While blacks and Latinos have seen gains, Native students' progress has been flat since 2005. The problem extends to higher education as well. Of all Native American students who enrolled in four-year colleges in 2004, only 39% completed a bachelor's degree, the lowest for any group. The study is calling for a reevaluation of education policies nationwide to address the crisis. Claudio Sanchez, NPR News.
A traveling hospital technician accused of causing an outbreak of hepatitis C in four states has pleaded guilty to federal drug charges in New Hampshire. He was charged with drug theft and tampering, also accused of infecting others with hepatitis C by stealing painkiller syringes and replacing them with saline fill syringes tainted with his blood. Under a plea deal, the 34-year-old avoids criminal charges in connection with patients outside New Hampshire, but he remains a center of at least 24 civil lawsuits and faces as long as 40 years in prison. Where were you during the blackout of 2003? 50 million people from the Mid-Atlantic to New England to Ontario lost electricity thanks to an overgrown tree that came in contact with power transmission lines near Cleveland, Ohio. That was 10 years ago today. This is NPR.
Support for NPR.